Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. What's this hostility with Odyssey by new guy? He's been saying, thank you, Gab. Fuck you, Odyssey. You know, I don't stream on Gab, so I don't know. Are you playing the Odyssey movie inside the Gab interface? Is that what's solving your issues with the website? I don't know, but it seems that there's a specific issue with you, because many times I've seen you complain about the stream when other people in the chat were receiving us well. We are in the aftermath of this massive race mixing tweet. Even Henrik Pahlgren read my tweet on Red Ice TV. It's always good to hear from him. Dustin Diamond says, I have my mute button. I was about to cough, but my mute button was not turned on. Lol, Odyssey hides your live stream. Gotta go to Gab to get the link. Oh yeah, I don't know how the announcements are working on Odyssey. Dino Logovic says, did JF upset someone somewhere again? I've upset basically 2 million normies at this point. I had a massive tweet. I talked about yesterday, so it's not my intent particularly to come back on it. Yan Miles Chung says, this is London. A woman was accused of shoplifting weaves before the store owner restrained her to prevent her from leaving. She is now portrayed as a victim, and activists are staging demonstrations outside the store. I mean, imagine you're the owner of one of these crap places where you sell stuff that's worth $2-3. Holy shit, must this be long before you can make profit when you have to pay the rent? So apparently this was the initiating moment where, let's replay it without my face over it. There she is, and he's trying to stop her from running away from the store. He is blocking her, being careful not to invade her personal space too much, but just blocking her advancement. And now she has committed an act of aggression by slapping him in the face. Yeah, well, at this point, you're demanding the right to steal. At this point, you're like, if you don't let me steal, I will attack you. And massive attack here with a shopping weave or whatever that's called. And this image made it a lot onto social media. It has become a meme. This image of an owner strangling a black woman. But it's like, yeah, I mean, at this point you have to... I know that the taking of the throat is not a particularly... It's not a particularly efficient self-defense technique, you know, but in this case, this guy is so overpowering her that it makes sense. If you're against someone of your strength, you know, it's not a good hold. It's a hold that relies a lot on the strength of your fingers. And so good holds are more with the arms, more with the underhooks, that kind of stuff. But in this case, you know, taking her trophy is probably what his instinct drives him to do.
I'm going to call the police.
Fake! Fucking not! Thank you! Recording! Recording! Call the police!
Thank you for calling the police. Well, yeah, you still have the things that you were planning to steal in your hands.
Call the police! Call the fucking police!
Now, she's giving some intense back leg kicks.
Call the fucking police! Call the fucking police! Is it what this is, babe?
I will call the police.
Babe, this man put his neck on me! This man just strangled me! Get the fuck off me!
This man just strangled me, get the fuck off me. And here we have another. And look at her. She is she's whipping him. That is physical assault. She's continuing the physical assault. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a victim to me. That looks like someone who... It's probably the guy's job to stop this from happening. And so he did what he had to do. There's nothing wrong that has happened. Here's self-defense in response to a customer who was physically aggressive and who had to be restrained because she would have left with the things that she stole. My tweet being read by Enric Paul Graham. That is super nice.
Highest order. Check out this tweet here from JF. Imagine having made it. You're at the top of the section.
Always great to hear back from Enric Paul Graham. He was giving a caveat around my evaluation of the beauty of the lady. I had said she was a 10 out of 10, 0.1% rank on the entire history of humanity. He said, oh, that's arguable, but we get what he means. I love, and Rick Paul Graham is a man of the people. And, you know, he has detected that my evaluation of her beauty could be controversial. And he softened it up. He sugarcoated it so that his crowd would be able to accept my tweet. I appreciate Henrik. Linda is bringing some news from Twitter/X. Ex-CEO Linda Yaccarino announced new hires and organizational restructuring in a memo to ex-staff today. The new hires have been drawn from Warner Brothers, NBC, Dow Jones, and ad platform Teads. Here's the full text of the memo. So basically, she's introducing all of these new executives. That is all very bad. That is all very bad news. More executives that are concerned about ad viability on X. And they're going to come from the world of regular programming of ads, where there is an expectation of control a lot. You can't sell ads without kind of suggesting to these companies that somehow they will be able to control what is on your platform. That's always been what it's been in the mainstream media. The people who purchase millions of dollars of ads, they expect to have a full service. They don't expect just the ad to be shown. They expect your journalist to be respectful of your corporation. They expect to be in a business relationship where they could hold it against you if you were to say bad things about them. And so can X do the same without censorship? I don't think they can. And so you're going to have all of these executives saying the same thing to Elon Musk that Linda has been saying. They're going to be like, oh yeah, we're going to have to leave them some control. Hey, here, I got this guy. I could get $100 million from you, but I need some control. And I don't know if Elon will be enough of a pillar to be able to hold the principles that he spoke of when buying X. At some point, it's going to be a decision in the mind of Elon Musk. Do I keep JF or do I make $1 billion? I mean, it's as ridiculous as this at some point. And you need someone with just massive autism to be able to say, I'm going to keep JF. I don't know if he will, but I pray that he will. I pray that he will find the moral pillar to say, no, we won't let you ruin the internet. You've already got your shot at ruining it. You ruined it. You ruined it for everyone for a long time. It lasted years, the era of censorship, and I'm here to do something different. another terrible news on the side of X. We have learned that X will be selling ads through the Google AdSense platform. So basically, Google AdSense is this central hub where a lot of corporations, they just buy from Google AdSense and they get their ads shown on the whole internet, basically, because a lot of the website makers will integrate AdSense to their website. So basically, you find yourself where Google has positioned itself as a central gatekeeper of basically the majority of the money that comes in the ad space on the internet passes through Google. Now, it will also be the case for the ads passing through Twitter that they will centrally be bought from Google. That is terrible news because Google has been very strong in imposing standards of speech, imposing, denying partnerships offers to website, giving them no access to Google AdSense as a platform if they were reported as hateful. Now we are faced with the problem. The standards of speech of current X are looser than the standards of speech of Google. And so there's going to be a point at which someone maybe like me makes a tweet and it's going to be outside of the Google standards. Now, what happens that day? Well, the tweet gets reported to Google AdSense now, and Google AdSense could decide to ban maybe certain people on X, maybe X as a whole. So what happens then? Is Elon capable of losing a platform? Because they won't do that on the first week. What's going to happen is they're going to create dependence on the side of Elon. They're going to make it last a month, maybe a couple of months, and they're going to slowly become a growing part of the inflow of money to Elon. Now, what happens then? Well, then some bureaucrat hired at Google receives a report. Oh my God, anti-Semitism on X. And then the newspapers start publishing hit pieces and start quoting all of the suggestively anti-Semitic tweets or racist tweets. And, oh, this is not true racism, but it kind of looks like racism. And now you have the whole mainstream media pressuring Google to pressure Elon. Can Elon handle this? I would love to have confidence in this man to this extent, but I don't, because I know human beings are flawed. And if there's one human being that is flawed, it is Elon Musk. And his infinite desire to please, his infinite desire to be a loose kind of guy, pleasant to others, fitting within the social world. I don't know if you got what it takes, Elon, to protect your own $44 billion investment. Yes, Dean Ulogovic, thank you for the number. So... very dark days ahead, based on these basic news that look like nothing for now. But once the ball starts rolling and starts accumulating snow and starts growing, I don't know how all of these ingredients will mix in with the free speech strategy of Elon. Dino Logovic says, Jeff, Elon paid $44 billion to keep you on Twitter. Exactly. Exactly. And so he has made a demonstration of commitment. He has a proof of stake in free speech. But sometimes people end up being extorted and they're going to go very strong at Elon. So I don't know if he knows what's coming and if he's prepared for it. I hope that he is. I hope that he is a fucking stubborn psychopath because it's what you're going to have to be. Elon. Go away, says Elon is just baiting Google into a lawsuit like he did with the ADL. This is 5D chess. It's just like 2017 again. Trust the plan. Two more weeks. That is a good parallel to Meg. There were people self-deceiving back in 2017 that, oh my God, things are going to be growing forever for the right. And yes, that is very, very well seen go away, of course, in his trolling mode. But it's a good parallel to make. There aren't that many people willing to self-deceive today as there were in 2017, that free speech is here forever. Very interesting historical parallel here. A shoplifter at Macy's gets subdued by citizens and claims, "I can't breathe." See, this is why we need policemen. It's policemen, they are entitled by law to keep you, and they won't respond to a "let me go" cry. But that is the problem. When we attack police work, the same way the way we did with Derek Chauvin, by telling them, "Oh, you have to listen to the person you're arresting." Well, the problem is there's going to be people exploiting this whole "let me go" so they can escape, the fair application of the law. There's a bunch of citizens and they're more involved than the female security guard. See, this girl is getting a salary and she's here to supervise. I mean, if you want to know where the men's shirts are, she can guide you in Macy's, but she's not getting her hand dirty here. That's not her thing. I mean, you can't really blame her. First, they're going to be so harassed if they are part of any corporate action to hold someone while the police comes. I mean, at this point, people have been getting fired for doing their security job. You can't really blame her. She's probably following the corporate directive right now, which is don't do anything. "Oh, I can't breathe" is now. It's interesting, the multiracial coalition here. We have a white man, a maybe Hispanic / black man / blackish. We have a fat Asian woman. We have her bizarre Asian boyfriend with a yellow shirt. Maybe not fat Asian, maybe Middle Eastern. I mistook the Middle Eastern. Now that I see her in another angle, that may be Middle Eastern, more North Africa. But basically, we have here a diverse coalition, something to be proud of. A diverse coalition unifying for applying the law. And maybe that's not her boyfriend. Maybe that's just a random guy, and he may not be Asian. Oh, and we have a mask-wearing real woman hustle hard. And so she's here to hustle to liberate the thief from the grasp of the law appliers. And here you have the social worker, lesbian auntie, the white liberal Californian, the base model, you know, trying to arbitrate. I'm having fun tonight because there's not much news. And so you have to laugh about what they give you. Oh my God. This is a collection of people. I don't want to live beside any of them, except the guy who's holding the lady in place. That's the only one I like in this whole thing. See, this guy, he has decided to take it upon himself to make a point for the law. And at big cost for him, because who knows, she could die. She could be on meth right now, and she was due to have a heart attack in 1 minute. And if she dies here, this guy is spending the rest of his life in prison. And he's going to be nationally recognized as the racist who killed the Macy's thief. This guy is like, I've had enough. I've had enough. I'm going to make a stand. I don't care if I go to jail. I don't care if I'm nationally covered as the most racist person in America's history. I'm just making a stand for the rule of law here. I'm tired to go to Macy's and pay my t-shirt $60 just so that everyone else can have free t-shirts. I'm done. I'm keeping this one here until the police arrives. We got some good body control directed toward the arms here. So very unlikely that this will be perceived as strangling the person. And by maintaining the underhooks, you still have control for someone who doesn't quite know how to get out of it. You can control a low IQ person with this. It's actually what I was using as a tactic to get monkeys back in their cage when I was a monkey researcher at Duke. See, she can't argue at all that she's not breathing. I mean, totally free neck. They are merely holding the arms. Now, the arms is not the best grasp you can get. Tactically, it is an error. If you're dealt with actual resistance, someone can get their arms out of your grasp. But with the underhooks of the guy behind here, and credit to this guy too, you know, he seems to be participating well with the white man. It's illegal, just like the thievery that you've just committed.
This is illegal! Bro! Let me go! Bro! Come on, bro! Bro. I can't fucking breathe!
She can't breathe because she knows the police is coming and she's gonna get in trouble for it. Why does this all have to be so dramatic? There could be 100 times less yelling in the whole thing. Okay, so I've been saying she, but people on the chat are telling me that it is not a woman. Well, the video was saying, okay, no, I thought the video was saying she, but yeah, I have no evidence whether she's a she or a he. I don't know and don't care. If you can yell, I can't breathe, you can breathe.
No, my mom, I cannot breathe. Hey, what did he say? No,
At this point, he's being or she's being held only by the arms, still complaining. You're only complaining about one thing. It is that you're going to go to jail. Oh my God, so much drama, so much effort to maintain a decent society where just minimal expectations of property could be maintained. Holy shit. That is why you don't make up a society with, you know, massive changes in demographics with people that you don't know how they will behave in a society of luxury. That is why you don't. And I don't mean that this person was an immigrant in particular, but that is why you don't change the constitution of your country if you have a working country with honest people not using criminality to survive. Go away, says JF. Show us the part where the police show up and let her go without arrest or punishment. I don't have that part. I don't have that part in this video. So you let me know if you have a link, but the video was ending there. But I don't know if this happened as you described, but if you have a link, send it to me. Alimer has sent a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Oh yeah, and White has been sending $200 during the night. Thank you so much, man. Alimer says, have you ever seen gas station encounters? Many of these small businesses have outsourced their loss prevention to India. There's literally a dude in India or Pakistan watching you on a monitor when you enter a 7-Eleven or grocery store these days. True story. Yes, I've seen those videos. It's like you, and they have a microphone, right? And so the thief gets into the grocery store. And there's someone on the speaker that says, "Hey, I see you. Do not steal these things." We have outsourced the kind of social punishment of just telling to a thief that they're a thief, with no possibilities to physically intervene. You know, a thief sees a speaker that speaks to him. I've seen how it works. It's freaking funny that we got to this point. But I mean, we have neutralized all other avenues. We have punished our policemen for doing their work. We have punished citizens and employees who stop thieves. And so it's like, what do you want us to do? Well, let's try the Indian on the speaker. You know? Terrifying story. Ontario School Board enforces diversity audit of library books. Students come back to a half-empty library. Pre-2008 books are gone. The diary of Anne Frank is gone. This is so incredibly fucked up. I can't even believe the CBC covered it. Empty shelves with absolutely no books. Wow, this is the remaking of history. This is 1984 right in your face. This is the whole, we will recreate a reality so that you won't even know where you come from. So all books before 2008 are not diverse enough. Anne Frank diary, a little too Jewish, to be honest. A little... in a way, you know, this woke ban... this woke ban kind of it has good in it. The Anne Frank library, you know, the Anne Frank diary. You would have expected maybe, I don't know, a black man falling in love with her at some point, maybe a Hispanic helper helping us to cross the river. it's all missing from the diary of Anne Frank. And so, in a way, it was due. It was due. It was due that we make a little cleanup of these sections. Big Tech Exodus says, I don't want libraries to be ruined. I mean, libraries at this point, well, who cares? Who cares? It's that they're holding these libraries open. I mean, it's pathetic. You go into them, there's no one. You see an employee of the state there, and it's like, hey, this is the library. Yeah, it's useless. Why have these books printed and held by employees of the state who are probably overpaid for just staying there and doing nothing? There are no more places of culture. It's a bunch of crap in libraries that's accumulating. Let's just burn it all and digitalize and make it so that books become quickly accessible to the people of the internet. That would be my position. Because at this point, libraries, anyways, have been taken over by the woke forces. So you're either going to have woke libraries or you're going to have no library. We might as well have no library and leave our information, our passing of culture, be happening on the internet. Dustin Diamond says, I don't want to pay for libraries or people's brats to go to school. Okay, well, what's the relationship between brats and libraries? I'm not sure. Mario Nafal appears in a new Killer Whales Shark Tank type of TV show, but that is about crypto. I find the concept interesting because I think Shark Tank was very entertaining. But the crypto world and people in the crypto world making new projects, there is such an amount of crap in the crypto world that it's going to suck to see these crypto people one after the other with their little special project. And oh, our special thing is we got this mascot, and our special thing is we got this decentralized aspect. It's not super interesting.
Budding crypto entrepreneurs from all over the world face off against the killer whale judges.
You put $10 million of your own money into this project. Are you crazy?
I'm kind of crazy.
It's coming in the alimentary canal, and it's ending up as decentralized diarrhea.
They are the next Disney.
I'm a visionary, and I could tell he's a visionary.
So this is a major red flag for me.
You're entitled to your opinion, though.
You've saved users over $5 million.
Correct.
All right. Well, it's going to show us just how much crap there is out there. There is basically a crypto project right now for every fucking ID from human civilization. And in a way, it's very often unjustified. A crypto for this, a crypto for that. I was looking at Coin Snipers. There's like 30, 40 new listed crypto per day that are like, oh yeah, we are the Pepe token number 4, Rocket, blah, blah, blah. They add stuff to it. SBF will turn up in disguise, says end of the line Joel. The thing is, I'm super enthusiastic about the crypto world. I think that it will revolutionize the world. And decentralized technology is fascinating. But typically, when projects become this brand, and you see even one of the sharks on this is calling decentralized stuff decentralized diarrhea. So from his perspective, it's not good that things are decentralized. He wants to make money from things. That is not what gets me excited, because that's basically a bunch of Web 2.0 type people who are surfing on the image of a decentralized web, and they're not truly decentralized, and they're there to make money from people who believe they are investing in projects that are promising. overall, lots of crap to be processed. News X will use Google Ad Manager to sell its ad inventory. I talked about it earlier during the show. Very worrying news. I don't see this coming out very well. Hunter Biden has been indicted on 3 counts related to the possession of a gun while using narcotics. Count 1, certifying that he was not an unlawful user of narcotic drugs and any other controlled substances, when in fact that statement was false and fictitious. Count number 2, knowingly false statement to the company that sold him the gun, certifying that he was not an unlawful user of narcotic drug. And Hunter Biden, count 3, possessed the Colt Cobra revolver, knowing that he was an unlawful user of and addicted to any stimulant, narcotic drug, and any other controlled substances. It's good that it's happening. I've been asking. I've been saying for many years now, hey, we have the pictures of Hunter Biden taking these drugs. We have the fact that we know he has a gun. He had a gun at some point, and we know it ended up in the trash, and there's all sorts of bizarre stories around this gun. But anyways, he had a gun, and he was taking all these heavy drugs, and we have him on video. It's going to be impossible to deny in a trial. And yet, we have people of the, you know, right-wing type of people are getting sued on this law a lot. Because these people, they stack guns. And it's their Second Amendment right to do so. But eventually, they get maybe a federal agent undercover, makes them addicted to drugs, or sometimes they just converge toward a life of addiction towards some drug. And that's how the feds get them. They get them not on the fact that their guns are illegal. They get them on the fact that they have this law that it's illegal to be consuming drugs while owning those firearms. So it's a side attack onto gun rights, but it's a side attack that is very often made for right-wing terrorism and right-wing, you know, survivalists who are stacking lots of guns in the U.S. And I was finding it absolutely unjust that Hunter Biden has never drawn attention from those prosecutors who keep prosecuting right-wing people for this. So I'm happy it's being made, but let's be clear. This is a red herring compared to the true case that should be pulled against Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden is directing an international network of corruption aiming at bribing his own father as part of his control of the federal government as a president of the United States. That is, if they went after Hunter Biden as hard as they're going after Trump, that would be the lawsuit. That would be the prosecution. But of course, we don't get this. We only get a small gun case. We have plenty of evidence, more evidence than we have on Trump, that there is corruption in this family, that they have sold their position to foreign entities to benefit from it personally. What else do we have? File the fucking motion. McCarthy melts down after Gates threatens removal. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has McFucking had it with GOP threats to remove him for failing to perform on a laundry list of demands from his party's Freedom Caucus members. If you want to file the motion, file the fucking motion, McCarthy told GOP colleagues after Representative Matt Gaetz criticized him earlier this week, giving him a list of demands while threatening to bring a motion to vacate McCarthy's chair. Okay, so small nitpicking in the Republican Party on leadership and do we indict Biden or not? Not very important to me. I don't think it will work. So not pragmatically important. And also in principles, I don't think it's a genius idea to be indicting and therefore to be showing that our side is just as bad as the other side. Like, if there was some gain to be had with this indictment, maybe. But I don't see that we control the media, so it's not like CNN will be covering this indictment continuously. So if you're not getting a kind of brainwashing of the US that, oh yeah, Biden is corrupt, if you're not getting an actual indictment that works, if you're not getting any result from this indictment, then merely merely putting it up and saying, here, we vote for the indictment, that makes you lose all of the moral standing against what the Democrats have done. Now, Matt Gaetz has a relatively good argument against this. He says we need to put up the indictment so that the American people is able to see who in the Republican Party is truly defending them and who in the Republican Party is ultimately with the other side. I think that's a decent reason to do it, that we would obtain something, and that's a good argument. Frederick von Finkel says, as JF talked about Canada's euthanasia rollout, it's fucked up, we're near the end. We're not near the end. I've covered this euthanasia stuff for a year. I've covered various news about it. It has become one of the main reasons of death in Quebec. That was one of the news items I covered. I'm personally not against voluntary euthanasia. If someone chooses to die, I've always thought that they should have this option. There's no reason why we would impose people to die without dignity or die with pain that they do not desire to undergo. I think that when it's deployed on like a 16-year-old with depression, I think that's ridiculous, and there should be limits. But even that, you know, if in the end, as a libertarian, even the 16-year-old, I would have to, alongside their parent, maybe, I would have to acknowledge that they should have the same liberty as an old person who wants to die. New guy says, voluntary, sure, compelled by authority, not so much. Yeah, well, I don't think that the Canadian system is subject to compelling. There are people who say, oh, well, they compel you indirectly because they're not giving you the healthcare you need. And then they're telling you, oh, how about this option? Have you thought about dying? And yeah, I mean, I don't think it qualifies to me as extortion. It's like the extortion of the toughness of life. But if you want to make the argument that this is extortion, like, hey, I'm the Canadian government. I'm sorry, I can't solve your cancer problem. I can't solve your heart problem. So do you want to die? If that's extortion, then McDonald's is extortion when they employ people. Because it's like, oh yeah, you want to eat? You want money? Well, here's what I can do for you. I can give you minimal salary, and you're a McDonald's worker, and there's no hope for you to ever make it out of this because you're not going to be making enough money, but you're going to be making enough money to survive. What the McDonald's offer here to their employee is parallel to what the Canadian government offers to people who are in a bad spot. It's not the fault of the Canadian government that you have cancer, okay? And it's not the fault of the Canadian government that you have heart attacks. In a tough situation like this, they offer you an opt-out. And that is fine to me. Now, of course, I'm a libertarian. I don't think that this should be handled by taxation and governments. But other than this, I'm not at odds with the principle of the choice of dying and this being an option available for people. Nearly three-fourths of white Republicans feel they are being replaced by non-white immigrants. Poll shows half said they would support a candidate who proposed an immigration policy to preserve America's dwindling white majority. And so people, AF Post was sharing a picture of Nick Fuentes. Yeah, I mean, in a way, I expect that inevitably some of the edgy talking points that we've been pushing, that Nick Fuentes has been putting forward, will be eventually regularized in mainstream America discourse. And we've seen a lot of this. We've seen, compare Charlie Kirk with the Charlie Kirk of 3-4 years ago. I mean, the before, after. there has been a change there. And you have to credit people like Nick Fuentes. They have endorsed the truth and they went with it in a world that didn't want to hear it. And eventually it's going to make its way to to things that people just can't deny anymore. Oliver Anthony is a loose cannon. He is a man, exactly the kind of man who is so disgusted by money that he can't engage in anything constructive in the capitalist world. There aren't that many people, obviously, because capitalism still works. So there's definitely people willing to make money in capitalism and make it work. But people like Oliver Anthony, the singer of Richmond, north of Richmond, they have been so habituated, and him in this case, I mean, he has made songs against the idea of money, and you can feel a general cynicism against money in his songs. You know, it's not just about politics. It's about, oh, they get wealthy, these rich men. He has authorized money. And these people I hate working with because they haven't integrated the fact that, hey, I have a legitimate place in society. I do stuff that will be useful for others. Therefore, it is legitimate that I get my part of the pie. That is the mindset with which you create stuff in our world. That is the mindset with which you make yourself useful in the world. I deserve my part of the pie, my piece of the pie, because I do stuff that people want. Period. And people who have a blockade about money like him, it leads to all sorts of mess, because he was arranged with a venue to make a show. And he doesn't want to deal with a regular agent. So what does he do? He hires as his booking agent a full-time plumber. So first thing right here, it's like, oh yeah, I'm out of the system. Well, okay, you're out of the system, but now you are hiring someone who has no idea what they're doing. So he hires a plumber, and I'm not against the idea that I'm going to take this plumber, and because he has a good mind, he can do anything, and I'm going to train him to do this. But in a world where he himself has not been booking ever before, because he's been only going on open mics mostly, he has never done gigs, never booked venues, never did that kind of stuff. So you have two people you have the blind guiding the blind here. Two people who don't know what they're doing. So he hires this plumber. I have high respect for plumbers. I'm a plumber myself. But he hires a plumber and he makes him his booking agent. The plumber gets an offer from a venue and he thinks, hey, I'm going to make money from this. My boss will be happy. We're going to make a lot of money. And so he asks for $120,000. Payment to do the show. Let's make money. Now that's all good. Good attitude. You know, you are surfing on a wave of sudden fame. You want to cash in on it. That is absolutely good decision making that he's done. Now, here's the problem. The venue makes their calculation. They realize, oh man, we can only fit 1,500 persons in our venue. And so they divide, they calculate the cost and all of the employees they have to hire. And they conclude, we have to charge $200 per ticket for a small part of the crowd, a VIP experience, $200 ticket. And then a regular price ticket at $100. That's the only way in which it will work. And I get it. That's he's asked for $120,000. You have to make money. You have to come out, if not profitable, at least neutral. So it leads to his fans having to pay $100 or $200 per ticket. And now he gets the shake. He can't handle it. I was all about not making it about money. And now I'm stuck selling tickets to people for ridiculous prices. That is what it is, bro. There's nothing that can be done that's efficient in our world that isn't based on money. It always boils down to this. You have a bunch of people willing to do work for money. They need money because they need to survive. And if you don't plan your stuff so that it fits within the budget, it's not happening. So having conceded to his plumber booking agent that he could make decisions on this, the booking agent said yes to the venue. But then Oliver Anthony learns about it and people start talking about it on Facebook and they say, oh my God, for someone who sang the Richmond north of Richmond, you are charging us $100, $200 per ticket. We don't like it. And so he starts getting the shakes and cancels the venue. That's why I hate working with these people. Working with people who have principles, I don't mind. That is great. I'm a man with principle. I'm stubborn as fuck on certain things. And I like to work with men with principles. But you have to handle your principles like they're a danger zone around yourself. See, whenever I talk with employers or people who want to work with me for something, I always give them deal breakers list from the beginning. I say, look at the kind of trouble you could get if you work with me. Here are the risks. And it's like, because I have these principles, I'm bound to act in these ways. Like I have a principle, which is that my free speech is not negotiable. So I'm not ever going to apologize on anything I've said on my show. I'm not ever going to look good beside you. I'm not ever going to counter a campaign of smears against you because you've been associated with me. So if you hire me, you could find yourself in 2 years from now with people saying, oh, you are collaborating with a white supremacist. Are you sure you're willing to do this? That is how you understand your own principles. You understand that they constitute risks for others and you pre-warn people. If this guy has a blockade with money, he should have pre-warned the venue. He should have said, hey, I'm a fucking communist and I want to warn you. You want me to do some singing at your place? Maybe I can. But I want to warn you that you're going to be in debt because of me, because I'm not accepting ticket prices that are rational. In fact, I am irrationally imposing low ticket prices that will eventually force you to reduce your staffing and that could create actually massive legal liabilities because you're not even going to have enough employees on place to ensure the safety of people in my show. That is just how much of a communist I am. Now, if he had let this out, he probably wouldn't have gotten the venue booking because the venue booker would have said, okay, we're not touching this guy. And no one should touch this guy. This guy is a loose cannon. He's determined to lose and he's always going to be a loser because he has a loser attitude with everything. That's why his loser song is popular in a loser country. That's why you saw all of these people being charmed by the song when it came out. And I said, no, that sounds like crap. That sounds like leftist crap, what I'm hearing. Complaining, feeling of entitlement, and just complaining that you're a loser. You have nothing to offer. As Nick Fuentes said, you ain't got a dollar. And I want to speak to the guy who's got the dollar.
I had to pull off on the side of the road and make this video. My adrenaline's pumping, man. I'm pissed off right now.
You're pissed off because your own agent, the extension of your phenotype, your plumber booking agent, booked something, accepted in your name, signed for you, an agreement that you don't agree with.
Don't buy Cotton Eye Joe tickets for $99 a piece.
And now you're already acting in violation of your contractual obligations, telling people don't buy the tickets. Holy shit, this guy.
And sure as hell don't buy VIP passes for whatever bullshit price they're on.
Oh, now you're insulting the venue who made your artistry possible. Possible in the physical world. They have implemented, from your idea that, oh yeah, I'm just a singer, they made it possible that you would be singing to people, that you would be communicating your art live to people. And you're insulting the means that they had to take to make it possible because of your price.
I have a buddy of mine who's not a booking agent. He's a friend of mine. He's a full-time plumber, and I'm trying to hire him full-time as my booking agent. And he agreed to the show, I guess, without asking for what the ticket prices are.
See, this here's a guy who cannot fully endorse his responsibility in this. I guess he just accepted this without telling me. You should know more than this. You're coming out to your people onto your live stream. You should know more. You should have spoken to him. And so you're not guessing at this point. So you're lying at this point. This guy is lying. Here's where he's lying. He's not guessing. He must have been in contact with his plumber friend. He must know what led to these ticket prices. He's not trying to guess anything. And in fact, he says that he has been on the road with that very guy, from my understanding. So you're not guessing. You had him right beside you. Time to ask him, hey, did you book that venue for a high price? Did you force them into putting the tickets at $100 or $200? And if that's his fault, and it does seem like it's his fault based on this video, you should not be saying, here, I guess he decided something without telling me. You should be saying, I'm sorry, my employee fucked up here. My employee took a commitment for me that I wasn't willing to take. And I apologize and I will correct my future behavior. Never deal with these fucking artists. Let me tell you, they are a fucking mess in the head. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, I would rather deal with an anarcho-alcoholic than Oliver and Tony. Exactly. Cloud Warmer was saying, Jeff, Oliver and Tony, Christopher, is 100% completely astroturfed in my opinion. He claims his politics is dead center. What a load of hot cock. Fuck this guy and fuck this shit music. Yeah.
Don't pay $100.
It's a miracle from God that people would be willing to pay $100 or $200 to hear this loser.
For a ticket. That's horseshit. If we've got to cancel the venue and play somewhere else, we will. I didn't agree to it.
Well, now the venue has canceled because you've been flaking way too much.
I don't want you to pay it, so please don't. I'm just trying to get the word out now. I don't know when the event got posted, but...
Do you want this guy as your business partner? You deal something with him. His employees agree. They say, well, it's going to happen. And now he's on the stream. Let's say it was JF, the JF Oliver Anthony crossover, massive show in San Diego. And it's like, and then he goes on stream and he says, oh yeah, don't buy the tickets for the JF crossover. I'm not showing up. It's going to be JF alone. It's like, bro, I was counting on you. You told me you accepted. And not only are you not directly communicating these things with me so that we can have a unified front in communicating to the public, you're canceling me live on your cell phone, on the internet. Holy shit. These fucking campers. Like, look at them. They belong in a tent.
All right. So, I was a little pissed off. And I made that, yeah, I was a little pissed off. I was more than a little pissed off. I about ran us off the road when I saw that Facebook post. And so I pulled over. Joey and I were driving back from Maryland today. And so anyway, we've had an opportunity to sit in the car together for a couple hours after that and have a good long talk about where this needs to go.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got emotional. New guy says tents are cool. That is true. I have nothing against tents. But there's a lot of homeless people who end up in tents. It's just what it is.
Moving forward, you know, Joey and I met at an open mic in Prince George, Virginia, about 3 weeks before I blew up. Our first time on stage together was at Currituck, the show that Jamie Johnson showed up at. And so, like, this is all very new for both of us. I mean, he's been gigging for years. I had never gigged.
Okay, so here we have the... We have half of the face of the mysterious plumber booker. This guy can book you a show and fix your sink. So here we have an unwillingness of Oliver and Tony to just say, hey, I mismanage you. I'm sorry. As a manager, I mismanage you. Because I gave you... what's so funny, Jeff? What's so funny is it made me think about the Face Off movie. The Face Off movie with John Travolta and Nicolas Cage, and they can exchange their faces. What I was finding funny is that he split right in the middle. Oh my God. Yeah, so your job here is to say, I'm sorry, dear plumber, I have mismanaged you. I have given you the authority to decide, and then I canceled your decisions. It's like, there is no worse management tactic than this. If you want to micromanage me, micromanage me. If you want to say, Jeff, you go with whatever you decide, I go with whatever I decide. But don't be like, oh, yeah, do whatever you want. And then, oh, no, don't do that. Because now you've made me lose all sorts of time. You've made me take commitments that now are all broken under your new order. And so your problem, Oliver and Tony, is that you're too autistic for your level of disengagement. In your management strategy, you are too hanging out on these principles that you can't quite lay out clearly, and you are therefore giving improper orders to your plumber bookers.
I was always just playing open mics. So now that we're here, it's like everybody's been telling us that we need to book these big shows and we've got to get all this stuff and we've got to hire staff.
You can see he's really not into it. You know, we're talking about an artist who would have the opportunity to do what all the young people dream of, which is to have a crowd that listens to them. Everyone who kind of dreams about artistry, that's what they want. They would want a crowd that for a minute listens to them. And instead of presenting it that way, you say, oh yeah, there's all these people telling us we have to make shows. Holy shit, it's like, you know, the teenager on the couch where all he can do is play PlayStation 2. And it's like, yeah, go ahead and do something. Or like the Dota song, you know, the Swedish teenagers stuck into their mom's basement. And there's nothing you can have them do. They're too lazy. They aren't even amazed at the fact that people would pay $100 or $200 to go see them. 1,500 people. I'm amazed when when I get a $5 super chat from a single person. I'm super amazed when I have a $200 super chat by a single person. Can you imagine there would be 1,500 people in the regular chat right now? They would all give me $200. Boom. $200 super chat 1,500 times. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm streaming tonight because, because people have kept telling me, like, you have to stream. And so I'm thinking about hiring someone to maybe click on the go live button, you know. But I don't want it to cost too much for people, you know. Cloud Warmer says, JF, if he doesn't give a fuck about money, why didn't he simply do this? Tell the venue to drop his fee to make it more affordable for his fans, then get the venue, trust me, they have a network, to help him stitch together a tour of venues where he can recoup costs. I guess cooler heads didn't prevail. I mean, the thing is, trust is broken. If you're the venue, this guy came out onto his stream a minute after learning about the ticket price and after people started complaining. Whenever he learned about it, he went live. If I'm the venue, I don't want to make a special deal that involves debt with him because who knows? You know, I don't want him to be owing me money because this guy will not pay back. This is the guy who won't even show up to something he schedules. I don't expect him to pay back on a debt.
Staff to do all this crap and it's going to cost X amount of money. And it's like, we end up just kind of getting stuck. It's just like, I feel like I'm getting cornered doing stuff that I don't want to do in the first place.
Well, do not do these things just because people tell you to do it. What the fuck is this? You just hired a plumber booker. Do you want to be booked? If you don't want to be booked, fire him. Fire this guy. Not that he's doing a bad job. He's been getting you $120,000. And you cock-blocked him. He did his job. He did an amazing job for a plumber. He got you $120,000 in your pocket. Why? Why would you stop this? And if you don't want to do it, fire him and don't do it. You can still be the loser you've always been.
And I'm very adamant about $25 to $40 ticket prices. I think even $40 is a little bit high. So Joey...
That is not how economic works. So I'm very adamant about paying my car only $113. You know, I think it would be a reasonable price for a car. Just $100. Maybe if you want the wipers and the AC, $113. It's like, no, that's not what it takes to build a car. It takes $20,000 to build a car. You can't have your car for $100. You can't have your tickets for $20. Of course, you can have your tickets for $20 when it's at your little crappy bar with a crappy barmaid who's surfing on a bunch of drunk old people who are just dropping $6 per hour to her so that she brings them their beer. That works. Ticket at $20 in that context, and maybe you're gonna sell 20 tickets, maybe 10. That works. If you're getting into the big venues where you need an entry, you need security, you need to handle crowd control, you need to handle the possibility that these fucking idiots listening to your music are gonna crush each other to death. You need money. You need more money because it's like coaching a bunch of fucking monkeys.
We and I have had some time in the car to talk, and basically what we've decided to do is we're going to keep ticket prices moving forward. Now, we do have a few more shows booked now, like Poppy Mountain Festival, Louder Than Life, all that crap. Once we get through those, everything else moves.
Anyways, this guy is a constant disappointment, but I'm happy I was disappointed from the start. I didn't fall for this guy like the other softies of the right wing and the center right on the internet. What a fucking loser. This guy is more of a fraud than I originally thought. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for the customers of the world-famous Cotton Joe. Most times we say a show has been canceled due to circumstances beyond our control. Well, we are canceling the Oliver Anthony show under our full control. All refunds will be made in the next few business days to your original form of payment. The Northman of Richmond contracted to play the Cotton Eye Joe for $120,000 for 60 minutes. After doing the math and knowing we can only hold approximately 1,500 people, paying the taxman, opening the Joe on a closed night, we set the ticket price to break even and bring our customers a show we thought would be fun. To our talent agency and promoter friends that follow us, be careful booking the Northman of Richmond. You know, there's lots of people taking the side of Oliver Anthony in this, but I think it's a perfectly reasonable position from the venue to have someone make crises about your corporate relationship publicly like this. And for a commitment that they've taken themselves, that, you know, it's like, you haven't told me that you had control over ticket price. So then I have control over ticket price. I'm the venue. Good job, Cotton Eye Joe, and fuck Oliver Anthony. DK Shadow says $120,000 for 60 minutes. I mean, this plumber guy is... he's aggressive. He's greedy. I love them that way. Ladies and gentlemen, I proudly present to you the winner of the Optics War. That's Nick Fuentes arguing for grooming underage children. Of course, that's how it's represented. But that is him, I believe, just making a statement about it's okay to prepare like 16-year-old females to the idea of marriage. I think that makes sense. I don't think that's grooming underage children. I think it makes sense to prepare young females to take over a mother role and a wife role. But I agree also with the comment here by Christopher Cantwell, which is, don't you give me the bullshit and tell me that this guy is optical. That's always been my point about Nick Fuentes. You can say whatever you want. I love what he says and a lot of what he believes I believe in. But don't give me the bullshit that I'm not optical and that you are. You are probably one of the least optical human beings on Earth currently. Like, that is what it is. It's our business. I understand. That's fun. But don't deceive your audience into thinking that you're optical.
We're just against sexual propaganda and grooming. You know what? I'm going to say something controversial.
I love when he does these things. When he points to the camera and you know he's about to say something that he knows is framed in a way as to be mistaken and clipped out of context.
I'm not against grooming. Young men and women being groomed for marriage, and they should be thinking about that at an early age. Because of course...
That makes total sense.
Of course, young men and women start to become sexually mature in their adolescent years. And that's when they should be thinking about marriage. Their adolescent puberty. The right is, in a perverse way, adopting the left's paradigm on sexuality, where they're saying, don't sexualize our kids. They got to be 18. And I've been saying, I've been on this crusade about age of consent unintentionally over the last couple of weeks. They get out of college when they're 22, 23. Then they think about marriage. Sorry. No. No, we don't want that. We're just against sexual propaganda and
I fully agree with Nick here. And that doesn't mean I don't want a world in which I go out and fuck a 14-year-old. That's not the goal here. But I want a world in which the 14-year-old are coached and told, hey, look, you are now naturally ready to have babies and you should think about it and and start aiming for a good entry into your adult life rather than always tell them, oh yeah, you have plenty of time ahead. Because telling you have plenty of time ahead, and then they come, they're 18, between 18 and 23, and they spend all this time that they were told, oh, I have so much time ahead. And rather than using that time to really get into it and get into a monogamous relationship, they do their studies, their careers, they pursue all this useless stuff. And they find themselves at 30, 33, thinking, well, I was told that I had plenty of time. So I lost all that time, you know, wasting it because I was told I had plenty. I'm totally for what Nick says here. I'm not for lowering the age of consent in the sense of old men like me getting to fuck below 18 years old. In fact, I have my own margin of safety. I fuck only 19 years old. That is just a personal extra that I put above the law. But I think that there should be some coaching and preparation for 14 years old, not sexual coaching and not by old people. But there should be a societal discourse that tells them, hey, marriage is important. You should get set on maybe starting to explore your options so that when you get into adulthood, you can get into it very quick. Oh my God, this is a horror movie waking me up every morning. The most recent announcements of Ukraine. And she's just bragging that,
Russia hates the truth that their obsessive focus on a Ukrainian volunteer is simply allowing the light of the Ukrainian nation's honesty to shine brightly. Next week, the teeth of the Russian devils will gnash ever harder, and their rabid mouths will foam in uncontrollable frenzy as the world will see a favorite Kremlin propagandist pay for their crimes. And this puppet of Putin is only the first. Russia's war criminal propagandists will all be...
I think she's talking about Coach.
...hunted down, and justice will be...
A puppet of Putin?
...served as we in Ukraine are led on this mission by faith in God, liberty, and complete liberation.
I mean, at this point, it's... This is a psycho. This is a psycho just at the front line of the war, passing on the messages of the establishment on the Ukraine war. It's just scary. And for some reason, when I wake up in the morning, Elon Musk shows me this on Twitter. So I was like, okay, this must be some AI modified type of thing. Yeah, it looks like an SNL skit. The thief of the Russian resistance. It's absolutely psychopathic. Like, I'm thinking of the wars in Middle East by George Bush. And there were moments where George Bush speeches were intended to be very activist. You know, you're either with us or you're against us. That kind of crap. But this is another level. This is like poetry of suffering and the whole romantic poetry of the enemy and the wolves and holy shit, way too emotional. UAW Boss says targeted strikes on standby as talks with automakers fall far apart. We do not yet have offers on the table that reflect the sacrifices and contributions of our members that our members have made to these companies. So some conflicts here between unions and American automakers. I don't particularly care. I'm not concerned by American cars. I don't buy them. you guys are costing too much to your companies. I'm talking to the auto workers here. You're making the idea of American cars completely unviable. Your parts are costing way too much. Your work time is costing way too much. As a result, the Japanese are still the best car. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.